Open the door to huge savings now at Menards. Enhance the appearance of your home with a new stylish garage door. Choose from our large in-stock selection of ideal garage doors or design your own using our free garage door designer in-store or on Menards.com. Save big and ideal garage doors. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Welcome to the Wheeler Dealer Podcast, supported by MyMotorWorld.com. Discover over 70,000 car parts, car care products, accessories, and tools from the biggest and best brands in the automotive industry. At MyMotorWorld.com, we've got the lot.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Wheeler Dealer Podcast. My name is Mike Brewer. Beside me, as ever, in the passenger seat is my wingman,
I'm in the back,
Mr. Andy
Jake.
Hello.
And in the back of the car,
I'm
as ever.
In.
She slid into the back of the car, as ever. It's Mrs. B.
Yay!
Oh, hold on. She got a round of applause. She got a round of applause. You didn't even get an applause.
I'm okay with that.
You didn't get a clap.
Don't follow him. Follow me.
Not a single one. But you have to mention that there is a third member of the car now. We've got the three of us, and then we've got a whole load of extra
seats. So we've got this, well, let's say, out of my infinite garage of amazing cars, I've managed to pull out the 1959 Routemaster double-decker bus. And on that double-decker bus is this lot in front of us. Ladies and gentlemen, give yourself a round of applause as our passengers. Right. Now, this one we're excited about, all of us, because we've been talking about, you know, doing a live recording on a Wheeler Dealer podcast, and we've been talking about who would you have as your first guest. You know, you'd have somebody that's used to claps and cheers and applause, they wouldn't get shy. You'd have somebody that can come into a room and own it. I mean, literally, he can walk into a room and, well, he could jump a bike from that table to that table really easily, actually. That would be
too simple.
No, from that beam to that table, and that would be quite easy for him because I've seen him work. But we thought about it long and hard, and then we think, who could we get? Went for our book, nobody was available. But then we landed upon a name, and it is a very, very famous, synonymous name that goes back for decades. 30 years for yourself, which we'll get to, but also his forefathers before him and uncles. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome our guest who slid into the other spare seat on our Routemaster bus, Mr. Dougie Lemkin, ladies and gentlemen. Yay! Dougie.
You only phoned me yesterday morning, so I know I'm like C on the list, or maybe even D.
Are
you sure you meant it for me? Or
We went through quite a few people. No, in fact, we didn't even think we was going to have a guest until we thought, no, let's have Dougie, and I've got to get my boy up here, Alex, as well. So I'm very excited that you've taken part in this, the first ever recording. Did you come on a bike? That's a great question to start with.
Do you know, it's a cracking set of staircase to get up as well. I can't believe we've not brought it.
The first time I met Dougie was yonks and yonks ago. It was in London, and it was the launch of a dealership in Chiswick. It was a Honda dealership in Chiswick. You were obviously a Honda-sponsored driver at that time, a rider.
Yeah, I for Honda
2000 to 2007. It was in the 2000s. Like that, you know, it's all a bit hazy back then, what was going on in my life.
I'm wondering what you're going to say because I can't remember this particular thing.
You know, well, it weren't the booze fueled years. It was the stress with work years, that one. But I remember walking into this showroom in London, and this showroom, they had everything that Honda had on display. Literally everything. They had bikes, they had cars, they had lawnmowers, they had speedboats, they had everything that Honda would sell as a company. They had it on display. And they went, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to just grab your glasses and stand back a little bit, we'd like to launch this showroom by introducing you to Dougie Lemkin. And this bike started off at the top of the stairs, the noise, ring, 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 with this bike. And I can't really tell you the route you took, but basically you come from a secretary's desk onto the railing, onto the staircase, down the staircase, onto a lawnmower, onto a boat, onto a car, onto a generator. Anything that Honda sold, you landed on it. And everyone was stood there with their mouths open, just in awe of doing this inside in a showroom on brand new things as well. That was the first time I got introduced to you, and I was blown away by it. And then I started to really take a keen interest in Lampkin and the Lampkin name. And it doesn't start with you and the fame of motorbikes. It goes back further than that. So where does it all begin, Dougie?
Bikes have been part of the family for forever, really. From a competition side, it started with Uncle Arthur back in the 60s. But, you know, before that, my grandfather was born in London, dare I say it. He was a southerner.
What's wrong with that?
Well,
hey, did
there's plenty of people in here that are not sure about it anyway. But he got posted to a munitions factory in Keighley. It's about an hour away from here. And he came up on his motorcycle and sidecar with his wife and son Arthur and everything that they owned and knocked on doors in like our hometown.
Did it all fit in the sidecar?
Everything he had fit on the sidecar.
You'd love that.
The whole lot. My Uncle Arthur is the first one that got people rolling on the bikes. He was on Grandstand, as it was back then, on BBC every weekend. And, yeah, he was a bit of a superstar at that, really. I think he had 18 cars in 2 years, a couple of horses, but he never actually got on one. I think money was coming in a bit easy and it was all sort of happening. And, yeah, only house on the street with a television and all the rest of it. But, yeah, that's where the bike started with Arthur. And then pretty much everybody since, from his brothers, including my father. My father was world champion. My cousin John won world championship events, except just one. We had a professional football, and we're not sure where he came from. There was always a bit of a mix-up somewhere. And we ended up with a footballer in the family for a short period of time, and then he went to play for Accrington Stanley, so the reality hit. So
who are they?
He's back on the bike now. yeah, but all, yeah, boys and girls in the family, everybody rides bikes, it seems to be. And I can genuinely say that nobody's pushed into riding a bike, but bloody hell, you seem to get one fairly early on. But it's but yeah, that's where the story began, really, way back then.
Well, I'm a firm believer that DNA does pass down, you know, between parents and their siblings. I'm a firm believer of that. And I gather for you, you really, when you're born into that sort of world, you kind of have no choice. Every waking moment, from the moment you can open your eyes, you're probably staring at pictures on the wall of your uncle, your dad riding bikes. By the time you're two or three, you're probably outside holding onto a bike to stabilise yourself whilst you're talking to your dad or your uncle. So you're probably just, there's no choice. You're in it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, my father was world champion in 75. I was born in 76. And when my mum announced that she was pregnant, my dad was riding for Bultaco, which a lot of people remember that name. And, yeah, my mum was gifted with a motorbike. So there she's pregnant, and my first bike's waiting for me. And I teethed on the seat, and I could ride it when I was three. So, yeah, I suppose I was sort of. It was always going to be.
And was you natural? The first time you was put on a bike, was it the DNA? Was it passed down? Did it work?
No, not at all, really. I think things have changed a lot now. I genuinely played more golf than I rode a motorbike when I was 12, and then my dad basically said, you're going to have to choose one or the other, which way you're going, and I chose the bike, thankfully. But nowadays, you seem to have to have your kids on stuff at like 5 years old and not do anything else, and it seems to be a bit of a mission where I never had that. I got best of both worlds, really, but... yeah, certainly wasn't a natural. It was, blood, sweat and tears, really. When I did decide I was going for it, I never won a single event or championship in the juniors. And then when I was 17, I won the European Championship. So it flicked really quickly.
Wow. Wasn't you, some of us are of a certain generation that can remember this, wasn't you on junior kickstart?
Yeah, I looked at a few people and thought, oh, we're all right. Yeah. There'll be a few people remember kickstarting.
So for those who don't know, for those of you who don't know this, in the 70s? Yeah, it was
early 80s, basically.
Early 80s,
yeah.
There was a programme on ITV, I think it was, wasn't it?
These lot are old enough to remember this.
There was a programme on the telly, right? Believe it or not, this is what we used to do. There was a programme on the telly that they used to put, like, 10-year-old kids on motorbikes and get them to drive across logs, wet logs, right, on motorbikes.
But you did get 200 quid.
You got
so you'd have ridden across anything.
But you'll see them fall off and break arms and legs, and it was like, yeah, this was entertainment on the
so
box.
So were you good at gymnastics then?
No, that's why I ended up getting hit by the damn thing all the time. But yeah, no, it was amazing.
Did you fall off on Junior Kickstart?
Yeah, but it isn't me who falls off the balance beam when the St John's Ambulance man runs in and falls over.
Yes, because that's a famous bit of film. I thought that might...
It still keeps resurfacing.
It keeps coming back. It's one of those ones on a timeline somewhere.
Yeah,
Somebody falls off and then the St John's Ambulance man comes in and twats himself.
Yeah.
It's quite funny. It's very funny.
It was massive back then. Until when I did the wheelie around the Isle of Man 7 years ago, we tried to get Peter Purvis to come back, but we were a bit old and it didn't just sound like Peter Purvis anymore. It was a bit of a shame. But at that moment, it was still the largest audience for a kids' TV programme.
Yeah, probably had something like, 15 million
massive.
People
yeah, it
watch
ridiculous.
It at the weekend. I remember, I lived in a council estate, so there was no way you could have a motorbike. It'd be nicked in 2 minutes. But I remember, watching Kickstart with my brothers and sitting there going, look at these kids, they're on these motorbikes and they're all from up north. They've got land up there and they've got space.
They've got rocks and everything.
Yeah, rocks.
Up here.
We had none of that. We literally had that.
You've got a grassy ditch at the side of a field.
Correct,
got,
yeah. We had burnt out cortinas and mattresses to jump on. That was about it. What an amazing upbringing for you to be able to, be around that motorcycle family, that legacy. I suppose then the other question is, once you know that you can ride a bike and your parents and your uncle and, other people know you can ride a bike, and this is another question for you as well within that, because of little Alfie, your son, is there then this pressure, because of the Lampkin name, the fame that comes with the Lampkin name, is there this pressure for you to go, oh, yeah, I've actually got to do this?
I think for myself, it's completely different than what it is for my son. Firstly, with myself, I am so lucky that YouTube and social media never existed back then. Because nobody actually knew who I was. There was a Trials of Motocross News newspaper that come out every Friday, and that's what you read, and there was no expectation. It was just Dougie turning up, and I was really lucky that way. When I started riding the European Championship the year that I won it. We went to the first round just to see how good everybody was. Whereas now, Alfie, who's my eldest, who's 18, he rides trials. He rode, just started riding in COVID, basically, nothing else to do, and then fell in love with it, which is lovely. It just means that I'm never going to have a weekend free for the next 10 years. But but he's completely different, because when he was at his first world round last year, there was cameras there and all sorts. Paul Abbey, he hardly rode through the starts cards and he fell over the handlebars. I was like, oh God, what have I done here? It was horrendous, but it's just different now.
Yeah, but the pressure must be immense, even for young Alfie. I mean, he's going out into an arena, a world-class arena, with riders from all over the world, not only from up here, where his name is written on the back of his shirt. And they're going to be looking at him going, you're a lambkin, this is serious stuff.
Yeah, he does. And it's hard, there's no question about it. There's a lot of people in different sports that parents have done well or been at the top, and I would say that is a negative point, but also there is some plus points, because it does throw your name in the ring. We've got a hell of a lot of good sports people, not just on motorbikes here in the UK. Unfortunately, they just don't get the support that they do abroad, with the federations and things like that. And that's something that we're sort of shocking at, really, here at home.
Yeah.
But, because he did have Lampkin on his back, it might have just opened a little door or two and things like that. And, like last year when I came and did, your show at the NEC, the classic show, which we're doing again, we brought Alfie down just to see what he thought of it, and it was absolutely fantastic. He loved it, and we've done it a few times since, so there is opportunities there as well. But yeah, on the whole, it'd be better if he were called John Smith or something like that. It'd make it a hell of a lot easier for a couple of years, that is for sure.
Andy, you ever had a motorbike?
I've had a really quite nasty crash on a speedway bike.
On a speedway bike?
Yeah.
You did speedway?
I used to host...
That's not a real motorbike.
Speedway bikes, they don't have brakes or anything.
No brakes, that's... no gears, yeah.
Not a real bike, he said.
I was on Greg Hancock's World Cup winning speedway bike.
And you broke
around
it?
The Millennium Stadium in Cardiff when I hosted it for Eurosport. And they wanted to do a piece. to show basically how rubbish I would be. And I'd never been on a bike before, other than a Yamaha DT50 with the front forks out of line, which I also crashed. And so I had one little go, thinking, oh, yeah, I'll be all right. And I had Hancock's full gear on, and I had my metal boot and everything. And I had Scott Nichols, the 7-time British Speedway champion, kind of giving me some really brilliant tips, like basically go fast. So I have a little go, and I get about one lap round, and I'm like, oh, okay, and I'd gone you could walk quicker than I'd gone round it. I thought, oh, I've got the hang of this now, no problem at all. So I gave it some beans, and I got about a quarter of the way around the second lap before the bike was on my foot and my foot was bust. It went flying in the air and it came smashed down, and they had to cut the metal boot off my foot because it had caved in.
Wow.
That was properly rubbish.
See what I was saying earlier? That is proof positive that the DNA doesn't pass down to certain people.
No.
It just didn't work with
me. But I had Hancock on my back.
Yes.
So it should have been all right.
Yeah,
no,
it should have been
terrible.
All right. Was you, you know, that was it for you? You're not getting on bikes again?
No.
No, okay. No. So, no, you should never go near a bike.
You were
really.
Fairly sure then as well.
Yeah. It was a pretty... I have a limp now, so I couldn't anyway.
Now, this is a question I've never asked you, Michelle. No, I know you've ridden a motorbike. You've had push bikes.
Yes.
Because we've been push biking together.
Pedal,
yeah, pedal.
Press a button.
All right, I've got an electric push bike. So
electric.
Bloody what?
What's all that about?
So what?
You've got pedal to get exercise, not
you have
just
to pedal
zoom
on,
along.
You have to push off
is this
on
the
electric one, and then you just press a button.
Is this the one you used to swan around the States in?
Yes,
yeah.
Wicked. I brought it back
very
home.
Healthy.
It's great.
Very healthy.
20 miles an hour. That's why God put batteries in it. It's brilliant.
I'm old fashioned.
Brilliant. What do you want to pedal for?
Are you not into speed then? You don't like going fast?
No, not at all.
You just like flipping.
Yeah, I'm like the slowest person riding a motorbike around. It feels safer.
So no one in the family has ever been into speed or?
No, apart from my son started with enduro, so he's frightening the life out of us now. He's 15, he's Fraser, and his trials is too slow and boring for him.
You see, trials riding is the slowest form of motorsport, I think, isn't it, on the planet? There can't be anything slower.
I would say so, yeah.
Yeah,
no, I think
than trials
so.
Riding.
Well, I've got the slowest lap of the TT course, anyway, 1 hour 37.
Seriously? So really? Do people go home?
I wheeled the TT course for a Red Bull.
You've got to be wide up.
Hold on a minute.
That.
Don't just let that one go by. Hold on 1 second.
You've forgotten that. You brought that up when
was
we were
going
in.
I bet you squeezed me.
No, well, it felt like
squeeze
it at
me.
Time.
Should we just hear that again? The
say
TT course is 37 and 3/4 miles. Is that right?
Yeah.
And you did what? You rode it on the rear wheel, the whole course?
I wheeled it for a video live for Red Bull. It was an athlete project that came about, and I was supposed to be wheeling around Cadwell Park. But when the headquarters in Austria got wind of it, they decided that it would be good to do it at the Isle of Man.
What?
And then later, as it got legs on it, there's always been a bit of a thing that you can't live film and live stream the TT course. So all of a sudden they said, oh, yeah, we'll do that. We'll just get a helicopter.
So all of a sudden...
They weren't expecting to take pretty much 2 hours.
There were 120 staff there and me on a bike and... Yeah, 1 hour 36 or 1 hour 37.
I bet that was a
later.
Brilliant, wow. Brilliantly watched stream for the first 10 minutes.
To be honest,
he's not gone far, has he?
They had loads of interviews, and they started putting the interviews on because obviously all I said all along is,
and
well,
we're back
it's
to
Dougie
Lampkin. He's still on the rear wheel.
People were complaining, there, yeah. Saying, "Get back to it." So yeah, it must have. Well, it went down all right.
Hold on a minute. There's a little thing in there somewhere. My engineering brain just kicked in. The petrol tank on a trials bike is tiny. So did they do like mid-air refueling as you turn around?
No, it had an extra tank on. Yeah, it had an extra 4 litres on.
So you had to ride a bike you've never really ridden before
on
the rear wheel.
It was a bit of a funny contraption thing. It, at Red Bull, you have to think of your own projects. They don't come to you and say it. And I was thinking, well, people, if you're on a motorbike or a push bike, you either want to jump it or you want to wheelie it. And I aren't jumping anything, so there's no chance of that happening. So I went for wheelie and it just grew a little bit. And next minute I was doing that. And back in the 60s, 70s, there was a man called Dave Taylor. And he tried it 3 times. And on the internet, a lot of the things say, you know, that he did it. But we did spend a lot of time with the family and spoke about it. And I went and saw his bikes and tried one of his bikes, which were like, he was doing 60 mile an hour in some places. Like around Quarter Bridge, he was doing over 50 mile an hour. There was no bloody chance that he was going to get round on one wheel. And his son was out riding for him and said he was going that quick over the mountain, I couldn't keep up with him. But he was just wheeling like where he could. But it wasn't about, you know, trying to beat him. It was just trying to finish off sort of his dream, really. And it was an amazing thing to do. Probably the daftest idea I've ever had, because it just broke me for a year trying to get ready for it.
I mean, it's just, you know, what a monumental thing to have in your resume. You know, I wheeled the TT course.
Well, the slowest lap of the TT course. Yeah. It's not the greatest thing on my list.
But it's a great thing to have. Other than the accolades, the other accolades you've got, you're quite greedy, Dougie Lemkin.
Absolutely.
You are one of the greediest.
I'm from Yorkshire.
Motorsport.
It's bred in.
It's quite greedy. You're not one-time world champion. You're 12-time world champion. Mm-hmm. Is that a round of applause?
It does.
And get this. I said this earlier, I'm going to say it again. They made Lewis Hamilton a knight after he got 7 world championships and named a bit of a race circuit after him. You've got 12. And you got an MBE? I would have slapped them round the face.
Could have been worse.
Where's my knighthood?
CBE, whichever one's
Sir
worse,
Dougie Lemkin has a really nice ring to it, doesn't it?
I don't think you can get away with it in Silsden, to be honest.
Oh, come on.
I'm not sure how it's going to sit.
Every time you phone the curry house, you'll always guarantee to get a table.
I'm not
Sir
sure.
Dougie Lemkin's here.
Lord Lemkin's got a nice ring to it.
I like that.
Lord Lemkin. Yes. So you won your first world championship at 21 years of age. What we need to know is, because none of us are world champions, I don't think, in this room. If anyone's a world champion at anything, put your hand up. See, there you go. So none of us are world champions at anything, right? But what does that feel like? When you are the world champion of something, in your instance, it's trials riding, that you are the best on the planet. You're the top. That's it. What does that moment feel like when somebody says, congratulations, you're the world champion?
Yeah, it's quite surreal, really, because obviously when you're a kid, people wanted to do different things. I just wanted to be a motorbike rider, which you can imagine how that was going down at school. It was like, what are you going to do? I'm going to ride bikes. Well, no, you're not, but you're going to have to try a bit harder. I don't know, I'm not, because I'm just going to ride bikes.
How old were you then when you realised that's what you wanted to do?
Probably around 12, 13, really? 14. Yeah, I was just desperate for it, really.
Really?
Okay. And that's... it's what I wanted to do, really. Then I was really lucky to turn sort of what was sort of passion and dream to be my job, really. Winging around the world riding a motorbike, and then all of a sudden you want to be world champion and you put absolutely everything into it, and then you become world champion, which is obviously just absolutely unbelievable. You're on cloud nine for ages, and then the problem is once you've got it once, you just want it again.
Yeah.
And then you want another, and then I won 99 world championship trials, single events. And everybody says, you know, it'd been amazing to get 100. And I was like, I've only wanted 101.
Wow.
The goalposts just keep moving. That's all that happens, really. But, yeah, like you say, it's target achieved. And it's just amazing.
Was the 12th time you won the championship the same feeling as the first time you won the world championship?
I think so, because I was... not winging it at that time, but you're definitely dropping off. You're getting older. They seem to be getting younger. You seem to be aching a bit, and you can't just do as much riding. And to be fair, although it's a bit of a strange thing to say, you've sort of gone off a little bit of riding your bike every single day of the week for hours, because that's what you have to do. That's the, you know, it's easy seeing the photo that you've won, but the trial's the easy bit. It's the rest of the week.
You're listening to the Wheeler Dealer Podcast, brought to you by MyMotorWorld.com. Need something for your vehicle? Screen wash, coolant, wiper blades, brake discs and pads, engine oils, you name it. Well, check out MyMotorWorld.com for the exact fit parts and car care products for your pride and joy. That's MyMotorWorld.com. They've simply got the lot.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra-titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
You're listening to the Wheeler Dealer Podcast.
Think of this. I've got an infinite garage of cars, every car, Even
Jay Leno's
even
garage.
A Moon Rover. I got that. I got everything. I want you to choose a car out my infinite garage. Try to make it have four seats. So one and three passengers.
What nice car?
No, it could be dream anything. Car. Anything you dream want. Car. Any this car you want. Just tell us drive. What car would you drive? Your dream car.
Aston Martin.
You'd take an Aston Martin.
DB5.
What colour is going to be?
DB5. Has it got
DB5.
Four seats?
DB5, yeah. Four seats.
Like what James Bond.
So a bit of James Bond.
Silver.
Silver.
Okay, I like this. Okay, this is good, Andy.
I'm liking it so far. Oh, so yeah. You're doing the full Bond thing. You're wearing
yeah,
the top
I'm,
as well.
Everybody is.
Everyone's in the top. Oh, right. Well, we're going to find out.
There's only four seats in it. It's not this bus that you've got, is
no,
it?
No. The bus is full of these
people. You're not going to flip it, are you?
No.
No. Or ride a bike over it.
But it has got machine guns, hasn't it?
Oh, yes. And
there is a picture of me. Right, so an Aston Martin DB5. It's probably worth today £600,000-£700,000. There's a picture of me standing when I was 18 in a dealership in South London, leant up against the bonnet of one that's marked up, and it's got it's brown, so it's metallic brown with tan interior, and I'm leant up against it. I was trying to find a picture for tonight, funny enough, and the car's marked up. You ready? 9995. So a five or under £10,000, and I. Don't tell anyone, so nobody's allowed to know this. I swapped it for a Volvo 240 GLT estate car. And I got the gig on telly to be a Wheeler dealer. And I swapped that for a 240 GLT, which we retailed for £10,500. My boss thought I was a genius. If only we knew then what we know now. So here we go. Aston Martin DB5. Who is in the passenger seat next to you? Choose anyone, but not a member of your family.
One of my best friends, Blackie. The problem is we ain't got anywhere to put his wheelchair, so we have to ditch that. So we're just driving around.
Well, his wheelchair, it's got a boot, the Aston Martin.
Yeah, we don't think he'll get his chair in, but anyway, we'll try.
Right, so Blackie, your mate, yeah. Is going to be sat beside you.
Yeah.
And wheelchair's in the boot.
Yeah.
Right, okay, so who's in the rear seat? Yeah, we've got two other people jumping in the rear seat. Hold on, no, it could be... You know, we had some really good ones. We had Elon Musk and Prince in a car together. That'd be great, wouldn't it?
No, I'm not.
Wouldn't that be good?
Musk. I'm not having Elon Musk. Yeah,
we had Ricky Gervais. How about Ricky Gervais? Or
yeah, not bad.
Halle Berry.
Yeah, I trust you to go there straight away. That's
I mean, you know, I'm just thinking.
Trust you to go.
We're going all ball gowns. We're going black
ties. You know what I said you find out about people when you do this? Halle Berry. So that's all that's in his brain. So think about it.
I'm in a loop now.
You're in a loop. Right, so we've got an Aston Martin DB5 in silver, and we've got Blackie, your mate, sat beside you, who's in the rear seat. Would you
James
like to...
Bond.
James Bond. There you go.
Which one are we talking about?
There you go.
Daniel Craig?
No, I've got Daniel Craig, yeah.
Daniel Craig in the back of the car, whispering in your ear, that's not the way to drive this.
Exactly.
You are slipping the clutch a bit too much there.
Yeah.
Flick that button, that's where the machine guns are.
Yeah.
Right, so you've got Daniel Craig in the back, Blackie in the front, who's sat next to Daniel Craig?
Julia Roberts.
Julia
there
Roberts. See?
Pretty
there
woman.
We go.
Pretty woman, see? They say. That's where you're looking
we get
for.
To find out about people. Right, so Julia Roberts, Daniel Craig, who's actually phoned me from Singapore, it's quite funny. Daniel Craig, Blackie.
In the gym. He was in the gym.
He was in the gym. Yeah, it was good. Daniel Craig, and then Blackie, and then you behind them. We're all in tuxedos. Julia Roberts in a tuxedo would work.
She looked fine.
Yeah, she looked fine. Okay.
I bet you can't
where
wait.
Where does this journey?
She'll be thrilled with that compliment.
Where does this journey start from? Give me anywhere on the planet. You could say Lake Garda. You could say the Australian outback, the moon. Where does it start from?
We would start from Geneva.
Geneva.
Yes.
Next to the lake with a big fountain.
Yeah.
Amazing bits of road. Mount Evian.
Drift down through Italy.
Yeah, drift down. Okay, so that's where we're going to get to. So you've got Mount Evian around you. You're on that lake. It's stunning. Stunning, stunning, stunning. I've been there millions of
times.
What's
next, though?
Where are you going? Where are you going on this journey? So you've got Lake Geneva. And it doesn't have to be in Europe. You could say we're on our way to Sao Paulo. It could be anywhere.
Going on
we just want to know where you would go.
It's a long drive in a DB5. Is
could
that,
be.
Not
it might be enjoyable.
You've got
Roberts.
Julia Roberts in the car.
I'll be sick of them all by then.
Might be
though,
nice.
Won't I?
Daniel Craig.
I've got as far as Milan and I'm ready for home, so I don't know how far we're going to go now.
Well, then you have a destination, don't you? Milan.
So, where would you be going?
For some sunshine. I'm sick of it here.
So, Milan?
Yep, we'll head to Milan.
Right, so...
I'm frightened to death what he's going to say now. Can we just get a bike out
and
start riding around?
Any bike will do it. There's only a couple more questions, that's it. See, we know that you like Julia Roberts. We know you like an Aston Martin DB5.
Yeah.
We know that you love your best mate Blackie.
Yeah.
And we know that you've got a little bit of a boner for Daniel Craig.
Oh no, I won't go that far.
We know because you told us.
Can I slide in the back?
There's no shame in this, Dougie. We're all friends.
Don't worry. He's a fit-looking guy. You know, when he comes out of the water with those blue trunks on, even guys go, "Woof, that's all right."
I'm a bit worried about you now.
Okay, right. Michael's
got a pair of them.
And he'll wear them in the next audience with.
And they really are budgie smugglers, aren't they? Right, here we go.
That's enough of that.
Silver Aston Martin DB5. Everyone in tuxedos. You've got Dougie Lampkin behind the wheel. You've got Blackie, his best mate, sat beside him. You've got Julia Roberts in the back, sat next to Daniel Craig. You've started your journey on the Lake Geneva with the fountain in the background, the Aston Martin pulling away from Lake Geneva, and you're on your way to Milan, one of the greatest, possibly the best Italian city there is. What are you listening to on the radio?
I would go Kaiser Chiefs, something like that.
Okay, bit of Kaiser Chiefs on the radio.
Would that be all right?
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah,
bit of Kaiser Chiefs.
Ricky Wilson.
Not sure I'm in the right car for it, but Ricky Wilson, northern bloke as well.
Yeah, he's all right. Old Ricky, isn't he?
Yeah.
Right, so we've got a bit of Kaiser Chiefs playing. You have to be eating a snack on the road.
Yeah, what would that be?
You're going to reach in the glove box, you're going to go for what?
What snack?
Snickers.
Snickers.
You didn't even have to think about that.
He didn't even think about that.
What he really meant there.
Marathon.
He really meant marathon. He really meant marathon. So we found out a little bit about Dougie Lampkin there, didn't we?
Is that the only snack, lovely
fantasy road journey. And before I'm just going to give it to you one more time, and then we get to find out who his favourite is, right? You ready? Silver, Aston Martin DB5, Lake Geneva, sat beside him is his best mate Blackie. You've got Julia Roberts in the back. Julia Roberts is sat nattering away with Daniel Craig about their Hollywood careers in the back while these two are laughing and farting
eating
up
Snickers.
Front. Eating Snickers as they're driving from Lake Geneva down over the Evian Mountains all the way down to Milan, where they're going to get to Milan. And when you get there and you get out the car, because you go into the Grand Plaza at Milan, it's beautiful. You get there, you get out the car, you'll want to take a selfie, turn around. Aston Martin's been nicked. Honestly, gone.
It was Blofeld.
Took the Aston Martin away. So there you are, four of you standing in Milan. Now, I can give you another car, or dare I say, I can give you a motorbike to go home on. Just a motorbike to go home on. So there's two seats on a motorbike. What motorbike would it be?
It would be a Manx Norton.
A Manx Norton, get in.
But there's only one seat on it.
No, it's got to have two seats.
Blackie will get on it, he'll be fine.
All right, and, okay.
I think we have a...
Remember, they've nicked his chair, so I've got to get him home somehow.
He's got to get him somehow.
Did I win?
You definitely won that bit. Yeah, that was fantastic.
Odd Job's got it.
And that's fantastic. So you were definitely out of the... three passengers, you'd be taking Blackie home with you.
Oh, yeah. I don't need other two, do I?
You just need your best mate, Blackie. That was absolutely fantastic, Dougie. We get to find out your likes, loves, what your passions are, all by that very simple little chat there. Did you enjoy that, ladies and gentlemen? Yay. Wasn't that just absolutely fantastic? It's been an absolute delight, Dougie, to have you here, sharing our very first ever live podcast. If people want to reach out to you, do you have social media where people can find you?
Yeah, I've got social media, obviously, on the usual channels. And, still trying to ride a little bit now and again. We've got a big event in the middle of January called the DL12 Indoor Trial in Sheffield. So if anybody fancies coming and seeing what the new generation are up to, the tickets are available on the Sheffield Arena website, so it'd be great to see some of you there.
Yeah, I'm sure they will do, most definitely. Everyone needs to see this sport. It is incredible. It's a test of endurance, balance, strength, stamina, and craziness. It's just nuts what you do with those bikes. So people can find you, Dougie Lampkin, on social media?
Yes.
Dougie Lampkin. Well, make sure you look him up. Don't forget to look up my wingman, Mr. Andy J. He's
no,
Andy J.
No, don't follow him. Follow me.
Don't forget to follow Mrs. B. She's at Mrs. M. Brewer. For all the gossip behind the scenes and whatever we do in our life, you can find her on Twitter, on Instagram. Twitter and Instagram, I'm at Mike Brewer. On Facebook, it's Wheeler
Dealer. He's on it 24 hours a day. He answers every question.
I try to answer
globally.
These lovely people. Want a bit of attention.
Never is me when I talk.
What was that? Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for being a part of this. It's been amazing to have this with you and share this experience with you. Please put your hands together. The one and only, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Dougie Lampkin! The Wheeler Dealer Podcast was brought to you by MyMotorWorld.com. Discover over 70,000 car parts, car care products, accessories and tools from the leading brands in automotive, all delivered to your door. Just visit MyMotorWorld.com. They've got the lot. If you're looking for a car, then why not try MikeBrewerMotors.com? You can find us out there on the internet. If you're looking for a used van and a cheap car, then why not try us at oneautomotive.co.uk? We've got everything you could possibly need.